Hi, this is Elizabeth Smith McCrossin, here to provide you with my weekly constituency update as MLA for Cumberland North. Today is Monday, April the 4th, and my mission as your MLA is to help rebuild Cumberland North together with all of our community, including you. Together, we will build on a foundation of truth and justice, determination and dedication, servant leadership, honesty, empowering each and every person in our community. Together, we will build on the pillars of healthcare, poverty reduction, caring for our Mother Earth, and entrepreneurship and business. As a note to anyone listening, my office at 5 Ratchford Street, as well as the new MLA office in Pugwash, now has COVID rapid tests available for free, of course, to anyone who is in need. Now today, Monday, the MLA office is actually closed due to staff illness, but there is a table outside of my office with boxes of COVID tests there, and you're welcome to go anytime and pick some up. There's 5 COVID tests in each box, so we will continue to replenish the rapid tests on the table outside of the MLA office, again, at 5 Ratchford Street, as well as at the Village Commission Hall in Pugwash. Every MLA in the province of Nova Scotia will be having these rapid tests available for constituents. Now, last week in politics, we had a very busy week. We're back in the legislature, so I'll go over all of the work that we're doing down in the legislature. First, the week started out with me being in Cumberland North, in Amherst on Monday. And I had several meetings with constituents on various issues. Housing, healthcare, roads continue to be, I would say, the top three issues that are coming into my office right now. On Monday, I also attended the Rotary meeting where Mayor Cogan of the town of Amherst shared an update with Rotarians. I also had a meeting on Monday with the Department of Health lead for the renal program for the province of Nova Scotia to discuss dialysis and the urgent need to get our dialysis unit built at Cumberland Regional as soon as possible. There are staffing pressures being placed on the dialysis unit that currently exists in Moncton, and nursing staffing shortages there, which are putting pressures on that unit being available. Now, we're seeing pressures everywhere due to nursing staffing shortages, some due to people leaving the profession, other due to COVID infections. So we are seeing this challenge not just in Cumberland or in Moncton. We're seeing it in Halifax and all across this province. And Daryl Cole of the Saltwire Network with Chronicle Herald did do an article last week about the surgical operating rooms being closed at Cumberland Regional and the concern that many have in our community about this. So if you're interested in that, you could find that online, again, written by Daryl Cole. And then later in the day on Monday, I traveled to Halifax to be in the legislature for the spring session. And if anyone's interested in watching any of the legislative business, it is available online. You just Google Nova Scotia Legislative TV, and each day is archived online. So if there's anything you were interested in listening and learning more about, feel free to do that. And basically, there's a YouTube video for every day's business. On Tuesday, the provincial budget was tabled by Minister of Finance, Alan McMaster. The budget can also be found online. And all of us are analyzing and going through the budget. There's lots of things to study. And I will be providing a more thorough review of the budget in the weeks to come. Just a couple of comments that I will share with you today. I am hearing from several people who are quite upset about one item in the budget is a new tax on non-Nova Scotia residents. There are two changes. One is with the deed transfer tax if a non-Nova Scotia resident was to buy a Nova Scotia property. As well, there is a new property tax being placed on any Nova Scotia properties that are owned by non-Nova Scotia residents. The only exception would be is if that property is being rented 12 months of the year to a Nova Scotia resident. So I have gotten a fair amount of upset people, I guess, for lack of a better word, to contacting me, letting me know they're very, very angry and very upset with Nova Scotia, with this new tax, and are feeling very unwelcome. And I'm hearing some controversy about this from other larger organizations, such as the Halifax Chamber of Commerce as well. So I expect this will be debated quite heavily when it's time to debate this in the legislature. We, of course, are also seeing quite a significant deficit, which we have not seen in the last several years here in Nova Scotia. It's over $500 million in deficit. And I know that the Premier and this new government did campaign on fixing health care, and they were pretty clear about that this is going to cost some money. My concern is we're seeing a projection of 6 years of deficits. And for those of you financial experts out there, we are looking at a net debt to GDP ratio of over 40% in about 4 years, which is very significant. It's very high, and that is very concerning. And I'm sure this also will be discussed in depth in the days to come in the legislature. On Tuesday, there were two bills read for second reading, the Condominium Act amended, as well as Crosby Memorial Trust Fund repealed. On Wednesday, during question period, I was able to ask the minister responsible for the Chignecto Isthmus for a timeline for the protection of the isthmus. Of course, we know here there's concern about destruction from rising sea levels, which will result in severe flooding to our area, as well as severe flooding from an increase in severe storm events. Unfortunately, the minister was not able to provide an answer, and this will certainly be a topic that I will be pressing the government on. Wednesday was also Liberal Opposition Day, and the Liberal Caucus debated two bills on second reading, the Social Safety Net Security Act, as well as the Municipal Government Act, an act to amend, which was presenting an idea to remove the deed transfer tax to first home buyers. On Wednesday, after these second reading of bills, estimates began, which of course is an 80-hour examination of the provincial budget. I had an opportunity to ask the Minister of Advanced Education, the Honorable Brian Wong, about sexual assault on university campuses and the accountability of reporting by universities, as well as the concern about the lack of action for victims of sexual assault. I also asked the minister about education for all licensed practical nurses who want to study to become a registered nurse. In our area of Cumberland, we have a unique situation, although there are several LPNs around the province of Nova Scotia that are in the same boat. And that is LPNs that want to study to become an RN. If they've studied at NSCC here in Nova Scotia, it only takes them 2 more years to study to become a registered nurse. However, if an LPN has studied outside of Nova Scotia, for example, 40 minutes away in New Brunswick at Moncton, say Olton's College, then they have to start right at the very beginning, and it can take 3 to 4 years to become a registered nurse. Of course, all licensed practical nurses write the same national exam. And what I've been asking the Department of Advanced Education for, and we've been working on this now for over 3 years, is to allow all LPNs in the province of Nova Scotia to have access to the bridging program of only having to do 2 more years of education to be an RN. So we did talk about that as well, and I was assured that they're very, very close, told that it might only even be another week or two before that decision will be made, and that the department is working towards that. So that's really good news for all LPNs that may be listening. In question period on Thursday, I asked the Premier about maritime collaboration and the importance of our provinces working together to remove interprovincial barriers, whether it's regarding healthcare, emergency management, emergency act, law enforcement. There's so many issues, there's so many areas where we will be stronger as a maritime region if we work together. In second reading, we had bills come forward on the income tax amendment, which was a fertility and surrogacy rebate which I'm so pleased to see. I've had people from across the province asking me about this for probably about 4 years. We were one of the only provinces in Canada that did not provide any funding or financial support for those couples that are trying to have a baby and need fertility assistance. There was also another bill read at second reading, the Holy Heart Seminary Dissolution Act. Then we turned into a committee of the whole on bills, where the bill Dismantling Racism and Hate Act was discussed. There was a lot of heated discussion and debate as the caucus members from the NDP government or caucus tabled some amendments to the bill, and unfortunately the government did not support these amendments. There was an all-party committee to help construct this bill on Dismantling Racism and Hate Act, and the African Nova Scotians from both the NDP and Liberal caucus were involved in helping to create this bill. Of course, Angela Simmons, one of the Liberal caucus members, and she's also running for the leadership of the Liberal Party along with Zach Churchill. Angela had tabled a similar bill in the fall, and the government did not pass the bill, but did agree to creating an all-party committee to work on this together, which they did, but it sounds like from those involved that it could have been better. And there was a lot of debate, a lot of heated debate on Thursday around them not taking on the amendments that the NDP had requested. Moving on to Friday, during question period, I was able to ask the Minister of Justice and our Attorney General, Honorable Brad Johns, about cases that have been dismissed due to Jordan's Law. And Jordan's Law was put in place to ensure that court cases are heard within 18 months or so, unless there's extenuating circumstances, which most people would agree that the pandemic and COVID-19 is an extenuating circumstance. Despite this, we have seen many cases here in the province of Nova Scotia dismissed due to Jordan's Law. I was able to ask the Attorney General what were the types of cases that have been dismissed and how many were sexual assault cases. The minister was not able to provide an answer directly, but has assured me that he will be providing that information in the days to come. On Friday, there were several bills read at second reading. One was the Ukrainian Famine Genocide Memorial Day bill. Another was the Hospitals Act, the Prescription Monitoring Act, the Personal Health Information Act, the Involuntary Psychiatric Treatment Act. And I did stand and speak to three of those bills as they were all related to health care system. I will let you know that I spoke at length about the Hospitals Act. This bill will now allow nurse practitioners to admit patients to the hospital. I've always been encouraging our healthcare system to allow all healthcare professionals to work to their full scope of practice, including nurse practitioners. So I think that this is a good bill. However, what I spoke to at length is we don't just need more people like nurse practitioners to be able to admit patients to hospital. What we need is we need our hospital beds to be reopened, and we need likely even more hospital beds than what we currently have. We also need to be able to move our patients that are awaiting long-term care in the hospital. We need to move those patients more efficiently and effectively into the long-term care facilities, of which there are several empty beds. And we're seeing long delays in this happening, and this level of bureaucracy needs to be fixed. I also spoke at length to the Involuntary Psychiatric Treatment Act, and I will let everyone know this is a huge victory. This is a bill that I have tabled twice, first as a member of the PC caucus and then secondly as an independent last fall. Cumberland Regional is the only regional hospital that is not included as a facility in the Involuntary Psychiatric Treatment Act, and now it will be. So that's a victory, and what this will do is it will allow our psychiatrists here in Cumberland County to be able to do psychiatric assessments at our regional hospital, which up till now, based on legislation, they have not been able to do so. This will, in future, help us to improve our mental health services here in our area once we're able to get an on-call rotation with psychiatrists. So that will help our emergency department physicians and nurses, And most importantly, this is going to help patients and families that are that have loved ones that are suffering with acute mental illness. So huge victory there. So much more work to do, but this is at least a step in the right direction. Also on Friday, we had third reading of three other bills, Dismantling Racism and Hate Act, the Quality Improvement Health Information Protection Act, and the Interjurisdictional Support Orders Act. And all three of those bills did pass, and I did vote in favor of all three of those bills. On Saturday, I attended the CD Saturday at the Business Credit Union. This was organized by Eat Local Cumberland. And if you're listening and interested in getting involved in local gardening or even having space at a local community garden, please contact the staff at Eat Local Cumberland, and you can find them online if you just Google that. Of course, you can call my office for anything if you need information or support on any topic. Please reach out anytime. My staff and I are here to serve you. My phone number is 902-661-2288. You can also email me at elizabeth.smith-mccrossin@novascotia.ca. I also do have a website, and it's just simply my name, elizabethsmithmccrossin.ca. And on that website, my staff try to upload any important letters that I send off to other ministers and other departments, as well as other updates such as my podcast every week and this MLA update. This week in politics, well, today, Monday, is a snow day for many of you listening in the Cumberland region. I'm in Halifax here for the legislature, which just starts today from 4 o'clock till 10 p.m. tonight. And anyone that thinks that MLAs have soft hours, you need to know that most evenings or nights, I'm in the legislature till between 10 p.m. and midnight each week, and then up and at it at 7 o'clock in the morning. So it's a busy job. Most of you, those of you that know me, know that I absolutely love it. The challenges certainly are there, but the benefits and the rewards of helping people and trying to improve legislation for the people of Nova Scotia and the people that I represent in Cumberland North far outweigh any challenges that I am faced with. So it is such an honor. It's such an honor to be here in Halifax and in the Nova Scotia legislature representing the people of Cumberland North. So each day this week, I will be joining MLAs from around the province to study and ask questions about the provincial budget, as well as discuss and debate new pieces of legislation that are tabled. I would like to wish anybody that's celebrating a birthday this week or anniversary a special celebration. And today on Monday is Andy Farrell's birthday, as well as Meredith Smith. On Tuesday, Doug Shafford and Jeff Casey. Jeff is one of my beloved veterans, and he does such great work in supporting other people in our community with PTSD, with the coffee support group that he started, and it's every Wednesday. Actually, now I believe it's every second Wednesday in town at the Business Innovation Center at 7 p.m. So thank you, Jeff Casey. On Wednesday the 6th, Bonnie Smith, my former sister-in-law, celebrating a birthday, as well as Titus Gallagher. On Thursday the 7th, Nicole Gabriel Treadwell and Patricia Knoll, Pat Knoll, is celebrating a birthday. And on the 8th, we have Robert O'Connell, Holly Martin, and Sean Chevery celebrating. On the 9th, on Saturday, Angus Cameron from Cameron's Beach area, and Jacob Neufeld, my new nephew-in-law, I guess you'd call him. He's married to my niece, Courtney, now Neufeld. Happy birthday to Jacob as well as Angus Cameron on Saturday. I would like to extend my sympathies to anyone that may have lost a loved one recently, and I'll mention a few people that have passed. My sympathies to the family and friends of Donald Langell. Donald is the son of Peggy Allen Langell Stevens from the Pugwash area. Very sad time for her. Carol Jean Wilson, Doreen DeLong, Denise Estelle Spicer, and I knew Denise over the years as she owned the business Pink Ladies. Also thinking of the family and friends of Dolores Elizabeth McDonald, Joanne Paris, Roscoe O'Brien, Beverly Bourgeois, and Frankie William Mitchell. And anyone else that has lost a loved one at this time, please accept my condolences. I would like to thank CFTA 107.9 and Mr. Ron Bickle for this opportunity to provide you with my weekly constituency update here on CFTA. My last note to you today is April is Cancer Awareness Month, and I'd like you all to do me a favor. Focus on cancer prevention and awareness. Mark your calendar for April the 30th between 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock. My dear friend, fellow nurse Millie McLeod, and several others in the community are helping me to host a cancer awareness event, and it will be held at inside the Amherst PharmaSave at Suite 20, so please mark that on your calendars. And also, the province has put out a Queen's Jubilee Medal, and you could go online to find out the criteria for that to be eligible. The focus of this is to honor those who have devoted themselves to the service of others, especially throughout this pandemic, be it as a result of their job, volunteer work, or contributions to their community. Please consider nominating someone that you know has been of service to others and for the Queen's Jubilee Medal. If you'd like more information on that, please reach out to my office anytime. So everyone have a great week. Take care of yourselves, take care of others, and have a great week. Talk to you